إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد then to continue with Lum'at al-I'tiqad, the Book of Creed, compiled by the Imam Ibn Qudamah al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. Then last week, we began on the section that mentions a list of attributes of Allah the Most High. A list of the sifat, the attributes of Allah the Most High. So in the section that we had last time, then there was mentioned al-wajh, the face, al-yadayn, the two hands, and nafs, the self, and al-maji', the coming. So with regard to the questions on what we had, then who can remember the first three of those attributes? Al-wajh, the face, al-yadayn, the two hands, and al-nafs. Into which category of the attributes do they fall? As Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, they fall into which category of attributes, those three? The face, the two hands, and the self.
Allah's Dhat, Allah himself.
Yeah. The attributes of Allah's Dhat, Sifat al-Dhatiyya, the attributes of Allah's self. And al-Majid, into which category? Al-Majid, Allah's coming, into which category? Yeah. Al-Sifat, which are fi'aliyyah. Those attributes of Allah which are actions of His. So Al-Majid, Allah's coming, is one of His attributes which are actions of His. As-Sifat Al-Fi'liyah. Who can remember that with regard to Allah's hand, His yad, His two hands, what was the evil saying that the Jews said with regard to Allah's two hands? As occurs in Surah Al-Ma'idah.
That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands are tied.
Yeah. And they said, Allah's two hands are tied. And who can remember the response to that? The response to what they said?
Rather their hands are tied. Yeah. And the object is
spent. Yeah. But rather it is their hands. Their hands are tied. As for Allah, then his hands are outstretched. He gives as he wishes. Gives and gives and gives as he wishes. Shaykh al-Fawzan also mentioned that he brought some other ayahs as a proof for what is meant. What did they intend and mean by their saying that Allah's hands are tied? What were they trying to say about Allah? The attribute what to him? Which evil attribute, evil characteristic did they try and attribute to Allah the Most High? Yeah, miserliness. What they meant by it was that Allah is miserly. He doesn't give them. He doesn't give to them. He doesn't give. That's what they meant. So as a response to that, as the brother mentioned, then rather the response was that Allah's hands are outstretched and He gives as He wishes. And غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ their hands are tied. And that is how they are. They are the miserly people. وَلُؤِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا And they were cursed. They have been cursed for what they said. Who can remember the meaning of اللعن, of curse? What does it mean? Yeah. Then it means to be rejected and put at a distance away from the mercy of Allah. Of Allah. Who can remember the same, because as we saw, Shaykh Fawzan, the same Shaykh Uthaymeen, Alhamdulillah, and the rest of the scholars, they mention the true position with regard to each attribute, and then they mention what the people of deviation say in that regard as well, in order to refute it, in order that we're aware of it, if we hear it, we know it's deviation, and that it can be refuted, and we know the answer to it. So who can remember what Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that some of the deviant sects say with regard to Allah's hand? What do they say in that regard? That they twist the meaning away, they do ta'wil of it, they misinterpret it, they twist its meaning away to mean what?
To mean the Allah's Allah's quwa, yani His ability.
Yeah. Some of them say, the deviant sects, they say it means Allah's yad, it means His ability. So what was the answer? Shaykh al-Fawzan, he quoted an ayah in response to that. Who can remember the answer, the response to that? So why is this a false mean apart from the fact that it's just blatant ta'wil, blatantly twisting Allah's words to mean something not apparent from them? The Shaykh al-Fawzan quoted an ayah in that regard. Who can remember the ayah? Ayah where Allah the Most High mentioned that He created Adam alayhi salam with His two hands. And who can remember how that ayah is a proof here? How that ayah is a proof that what is meant by Allah's yad, Allah's hand, is indeed a true and real hand and not His ability. How is that ayah a proof for this?
It's because He made Adam with His two hands, whereas He makes all other things with the same kun.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the ayah mentions a special quality for Adam alayhi salam, something that he's distinguished with, that he was created with Allah's two hands. And if the meaning of hand were Allah's ability, then everything is created with Allah's ability. So there would be nothing special about Adam alayhi salam. He would be just the same as everything else in the creation. He's created by Allah's ability. So rather than the ayah mentions a special quality for Adam, that he was created with Allah's two hands. So this shows that what is meant by hand is a literal hand, not meaning Allah's ability. And there's a second aspect of proof in the ayah, or the second way in which the scholars derive proof for this from that same ayah, which is...
There can't be two abilities.
There you know. That is mentioned in the dual, بِيَدَيَّ, with the meaning of, with my two hands. Allah eventually created Adam with my two hands. So this is a proof that it does not mean ability. Because no one in their right mind will say Allah has two abilities. Allah has two abilities. One ability and another ability. Rather, Allah has two hands. Why is it, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions, why is it that these people have a problem? Why can't they just come and say, Allah says He has a hand, and we say He has a hand. What is their problem? What is wrong? What is happening in their minds? What's going wrong that causes them to say, we say hand means something different? What's the problem in their mind that caused them to do that?
So they don't resemble creator and creation.
Yeah, because they fear tashbih. They fear resemblance with the creation. Because they say, if we affirm a hand for Allah, then we find that the creation have hands. So if we say the Creator has a hand, the Creator has hands, and the creation have hands, then we've made resemblance between the Creator and the creation. We know the resemblance between the Creator and the creation is false. So therefore they say, we must deny that attribute for the Creator. Rather, they say they don't say we deny it, they say we interpret it to mean something different. And the response, you can remember the response to that. Just briefly.
It's not because of Allah's wajh and is that the gifts one has one.
Yeah. No. It's not that. Yeah. And the brief answer to that is that there is no resemblance. By the fact that we affirm a hand for the Creator, a hand as befits Him, that befits His Majesty, and that we also know that the creation have hands which befit them and are specific to them and have the imperfections of the creation. And there is no resemblance between the hand of the Creator and the hand of creation. There's no resemblance. As for the ayah that we had from Surah Al-Ma'idah with regard to Isa alayhi salam, ta'lamu ma fi nafsi wa la a'lamu ma fi nafsi. Who can remember what is affirmed in this ayah? What's affirmed in this ayah? Ta'lamu ma fi nafsi wa la a'lamu ma fi nafsi.
Isa alayhi salam
Yeah. In that, Isa alayhi salam affirms a self for Allah, and also something else which is affirmed.
Soul.
Yeah, something else mentioned in the ayah that's important.
The ilm.
The creation also has a self, has a nafs. Ta'lamu ma fi nafsi. Isa alayhi salam said, addressing his Lord, Ta'lamu ma fi nafsi. You know what is in myself. Wala a'lamu ma fi nafsi. And I do not know what is in yourself. So the ayah has contains a mention of affirmation of a self for Allah the Most High, and a self for Isa, for the creation as well. Which proves, of course, the point that came in that we just mentioned before, that the fact that the creation have an attribute and the creator has that attribute does not in any way mean that there's any resemblance between the two. There's no resemblance between the self of the creator and the self of the creation, even though both are affirmed. Who can remember, or who can tell me rather, what interpretation do we give to Al-Majid, to Allah's coming? What interpretation do we give to that? Al-Majid, the coming. How do we have to interpret that? Yeah. In other words, we don't interpret it away. We affirm it as being a true and real attribute, a true and real Majid, a true and real coming, and we don't interpret it away to mean something different. Now, with regard to what continues, then the Imam Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi rahimahullah continues on the Egyptian print that most of us have got, with the printing errors contained in it, then we reached page 76. وقوله هل ينظرون إلا أن يأتيهم الله. الآية من سورة البقرة. And his saying, the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 210, with the explanation, do they await except that Allah should come to them? Do they await except that Allah should come to them? Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ. He said, meaning, what are the unbelievers waiting for? مَا يَنْتَظِرُ الْكُفَّارِ. What are the unbelievers waiting for? And as a side point here, an extra point that we had in the explanation of Tahawiyya, that the verb nadara occurs with three separate meanings. And if we remember, we refer back, it came in point number 58 of Al-Aqidah Tahawiyya. That the verb that occurs in this ayah, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ نَظَرَ يَنْظُرُ, that this verb, as it occurs in the texts, comes with three meanings. As Shaykh Al-Fawzan explained in his explanation, that firstly, if نَظَرَ, this verb has نَظَرَ with its different forms, has an إِلَى after it, نَظَرَ إِلَى, to look to or towards, then it means seeing with the eyes. Such as the believers seeing their Lord on the day of resurrection. Nadara illa, then the meaning is to see with the eyes. The second possible meaning, or the second meaning after the three which it occurs with, is nadara fi. If this verb nadara with its different forms has the particle fi, literally to look into something, and it means to reflect upon and to consider. And the third meaning, which is the meaning that occurs here in this ayah, and the same ayah was used by Shaykh al-Fawzan there in the explanation of Tahawiyya, if nadara occurs on its own, without an ilah, without a fi, just on its own, like here, hal yanzurun, then the meaning is to wait or await. To wait or await. So the meaning here is, indeed, to wait or await. As Shaykh al-Fawzan said, back to the text, back to the explanation then. He said, what is it that the unbelievers are waiting for? إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ, with the meaning, except that Allah should come to them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said that he comes to carry out the judgment. Is he referring to the day of resurrection? Here, what is meant in this ayah is that what is it the unbelievers are waiting for, except that Allah should come to carry out the judgment. فِي ذُبَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ Shaykh al-Fawzan gives the next part of the ayah. فِي ذُبَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ Screened by the shade of clouds. And that was the explanation given by Al-Baghawi and As-Sam'ani, two of the great Mufassirin, for the Tafsirs, Al-Baghawi and As-Sam'ani, they say meaning screened by the shade of clouds. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, from clouds. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ And it should be a dhamma, of course, at the end of وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ, not the kasra which occurs here in the text. Again, another slight printing error. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ And the angels. The angels, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the angels will come along with his coming. He, the perfect and most high. وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ Surah Al-Baqarah, the completion of that same ayah. And the affair, with the meaning, and the affair will be concluded, and all affairs will return to Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he will come, the Allah the Most High, he will come to carry out the judgment. He, the Perfect and Most High. And that is that the people will stand for a very long time. Lasting for 50,000 years with their gazes fixed, with their sight, their eyesight fixed. And the sun will be drawn close and sweat will be a bridle for them. And sweat will be, like the bridle of a horse, will be up to their mouths. Some of them will have the sweat up to their mouths, and some of them less than that, in accordance with their deeds. Obviously, meaning as the worse a person's deeds are, then the higher the sweat will reach up his body. So when the standing becomes prolonged for them, they will seek someone to intercede for them with their Lord, for him to carry out the judgment between them. And the prophets will push away intercession, ash-shafa'ah. Each prophet will push it away from himself until it comes to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will fall down in sajda, he will fall down in prostration in front of his Lord, and he will ask Allah that he should pass judgment between his servants and give them relief from the standing. So he, the Perfect and Most High, will come to judge between them. And that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation of this point. And again, as another side point, then Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, quotes an authentic hadith in explanation of this ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah. So Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir said, he gives his chain of narration which goes back to Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ لِمِيقَاتِ يَوْمٍ مَعْلُومٍ قِيَامًا شَاخِصَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَنْتَظِرُونَ فَصْلَ الْقَضَاءِ وَيَنْزِلُ اللَّهُ فِي ذُرَلٍ مِنَ الْغَمَامِ مِنَ الْعَرْشِ إِلَى الْكُرْسِيِّ Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, Allah will gather together all of the earlier and the later people for the appointed time of a set day, And the people will be standing, staring with fixed gaze to the sky, waiting for judgment to be passed. And Allah will descend in the shade of clouds from the arsh, from the throne, to the kursi, to the footstool. And this was declared Hassan, good, by Shaykh al-Albani and Shaykh Muqbil, rahimahumullah. And as for what Shaykh Al-Fimeen said, briefly on this point, Shaykh Al-Fimeen, rahimahullah, he said in his explanation, with regard to the attribute Al-Majid of Allah's coming, he said, Allah's coming to judge between His servants on the day of resurrection is established by the book and the sunnah and the ijma', the consensus of the Salaf. Allah the Most High said, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ Surah Al-Fajr, Ayah 22, with the explanation, and your Lord will come. And then he quotes the ayah of the section here, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 210, with the explanation, do they await, except that Allah should come to them? Then the Shaykh said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, until no one remains, of this being part of a longer hadith, until no one remains except those who used to worship Allah, then the Lord of the whole of creation will come to them. Atahum Rabbul Alameen, agreed upon, as part of a long hadith. The hadith, as I mentioned in the footnote, reported by Al-Bukhari, hadith number 7437, and reported by Muslim. And he said, the Salaf have consensus, ijma', affirming the Majid, the coming of Allah the Most High. So it is obligatory to affirm it for him, without tahrif, without twisting the meaning away, without ta'til, without negating the meaning, without takyif, without saying how, and without tamthil, without making resemblance with the creation. And it is a coming, a majid, which is haqiqi, true and real, as befits Allah the Most High. And some of the people who deny the attributes explain his coming to mean the coming of his command. And we respond to them with what has proceeded from the fourth principle. And each of these sections, Shaykh Al-Fimeen responds with that same answer. He said, we respond to this same principle. And the principle is that he said earlier in the book, the fourth principle, in which we rebut those who deny the attributes. He said, those who deny the attributes are the ones who deny anything from the names of Allah or His attributes, and who distort the texts away from what is apparent from them. And they are called the mu'awwila, the people of ta'wil, people who misinterpret. And the general principle in refutation of them is that we say, their saying is contrary to what is apparent from the texts. And it is contrary to the way of the Salaf, the predecessors. And there is no authentic proof to support it. And then he continues. Then with regard to the continuation of the text here, and the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, and the Imam continues, وَقَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth surah, Ayah 119. And the saying of Allah the Most High, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ With the explanation, Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, so he described himself with the attribute of ar-ridha, of pleasure, being pleased, and that he is pleased, he becomes pleased with his believing servants. So ar-ridha, pleasure, is an attribute from his attributes. He the perfect, His attributes, al-fi'liya, sifat al-fi'liya. His attributes, which are actions. And this occurs in a number of ayahs. Radiallahu anhum wa radu anhu. The explanation that Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. So it occurs in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th surah, ayah 119, as in the text here. And it occurs in Surah Tawbah, the 9th surah, ayah 100, or ayah 100. And it occurs in Surah Al-Mujadila, the 58th surah, ayah 22. And it occurs in Surah Al-Bayyinah, the 98th surah, ayah 8. And in other places. So it contains affirmation of our rida, of pleasure for Allah, the Majestic and Most High, as befits His Majesty. And it does not resemble the pleasure of the created beings, because Allah has described Himself with the attribute of rida, pleasure, and He has described created beings with pleasure. وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ And they are pleased with Him. This contains affirmation of rida, of pleasure, of the created beings, and that they become pleased. However, there is no resemblance between the two pleasures, the two being pleased. The pleasure of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, I apologize, this annoying echo which seems to be on the microphone. The pleasure of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, is specific to Him. And the pleasure of the created being is something specific to Him and in accordance with Him. That the pleasure of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, is specific to Him. And the pleasure of the created being is specific to Him and in accordance with Him. As for Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and he summarized this section by saying, Al-Ridha, pleasure, is from the attributes of Allah, which are confirmed by the Book and the Sunnah, and the consensus of the Salaf. Allah the Most High said, Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. This ayah, Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah 119, that Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him. He said, and likewise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allaha لَيَرْضَى عَنِ الْعَبْدِ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ الْأَكْلَةَ فَيَحْمَدَهُ عَلَيْهَا أَوْ يَشْرَبَ الشَّرْبَةَ فَيَحْمَدَهُ عَلَيْهَا. That the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah is pleased with the servant that he eats a morsel of food and praises him for it, or he drinks a drink and praises him for it. Reported by Muslim. And the Salaf, the predecessors, are agreed in consensus upon affirming al-ridha, pleasure, for Allah the Most High. So it is obligatory to affirm it without tahrif, without twisting the meaning away, without ta'til, without depriving it of the meaning, without takif, without saying how, and without tamthil, without declaring resemblance with the creation. And it is al-ridha, pleasure, which is haqiqi, true and real, as befits Allah the Most High. And some of the people who deny the attributes explain it to mean giving reward. In some of the people of deviation, they say Allah's rida, it means He's giving reward. The Shaykh said, and we respond to them with what preceded in that fourth principle, meaning the same response as before. But this is contrary to the texts, has no authentic proof, contrary to what the Salaf were upon, and so on. And with regard to the next attribute that's mentioned on the next part of the text, وَقَوْلُهُ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th surah, ayah 54. And his saying, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ That he loves them, and they love him. Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th surah, ayah 54. Shaykh Fawzan said in explanation, and likewise from his attributes, he the perfect is al-mahabba, is love, that he loves his servants in accordance with their deeds, which they do. He, the Most High, said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th Surah, Ayah 54. With the explanation, O you who believe, whoever amongst you turns back from his religion, then Allah will bring a people who love Him. Or rather, He will bring a people whom He loves, and they will love Him. They will be humble with the believers, stern upon the unbelievers. They will fight jihad in Allah's cause and not be turned away by the blame of a blamer. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, through these actions, istahakku, I'm in a printing error here, should be istahakku, the ha followed by a qaf, followed by a waw. بِهَذِهِ الْأَعْمَالِ اِسْتَحَقُّوا مَحَبَّةَ اللَّهِ By, through these actions, they became deserving of the love of Allah for them. Upon these actions, their love and alliance towards the believers and their enmity towards the unbelievers. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ That they will be humble with the believers, stern against the unbelievers. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so with regard to the believers, they are humble. They humble themselves with them and are mild with them and have mercy upon them and have humility with them. And they are stern upon the unbelievers, strong against the unbelievers, not soft with them, having strength towards the unbelievers. Because they are the enemies of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ That they fight jihad in Allah's cause. The Shaykh said, this is one of the greatest of their attributes, fighting jihad in Allah's cause. He, the Mighty and Majestic. To raise high the word of Allah. Yeah. And this is why the believers fight jihad. Not just to blow people limb from limb and etc. etc. Rather they fight to raise the word of Allah high. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ That being the purpose for their jihad. Not any other purpose. And the craziness which the people bring about these days in the name of jihad. Rather, to raise high the word of Allah. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ And they do not fear the rebuke of the rebuker. Or rather, they do not fear the blame of the blamer. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is also from their attributes, that they are not prevented for Allah's sake by the blame of one who blames. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 54. The continuation of the ayah with the explanation, that is the favour of Allah. He gives it to whomever He wishes. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, So through these characteristics, they deserved this tremendous virtue, that Allah has loved them, He the Perfect and Most High. Then he mentioned some further ayahs where Allah mentions His loving certain people. So he said, and likewise in his saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَّهِّرِينَ Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, Ayah 222, with the explanation, Allah loves those who constantly turn in repentance to Him, and He loves those who purify themselves. Then he quotes another ayah, يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ Surah Ali Imran, the 3rd Surah, Ayah 76, that He, Allah the Most High, He loves the people of taqwa. He loves those people who fear and avoid disobedience to Him. And he quotes another ayah, يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, ayah 195, that Allah loves the people of Ihsan. Allah loves the doers of good, those who perfect their worship. Two other than this. So Allah loves the people of righteous deeds and good and pure actions. And when Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, loves them, they attain bliss in this world and in the hereafter. And they attain honor bestowed by Allah, the Majestic and Most High. And likewise in the ayah there is affirmation of love, al-muhabba, for Allah, and affirmation of love for the created beings. يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُمْ. He loves them and they love him. So this shows that there is no resemblance between the two attributes, the attribute of the created being and the attribute of the creator. Because Allah the Majestic and Most High, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Ayah which gives us the principle, Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, Ayah 11, with the explanation, there is nothing like him. And he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so even though the attribute is found, the attribute of love, even though the attribute is found in the created beings, it is found with them as befits them. And it is not like the attribute of the Lord, the Perfect and Most High. This is a principle in all of the names and attributes. As for Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, then he said here, al-muhabba, love is from the attributes of Allah which are confirmed for him in the book and the sunnah and the consensus of the Salaf. Allah the Most High said, then he quotes this ayah that we just had from Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah 54, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. That Allah will then soon bring a people whom he loves and they love him. He said, and likewise the Prophet ﷺ said on the day of Khaybar, لَأُعْطِيَنَّ الرَّايَةَ غَدًا رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. That the Prophet ﷺ said on the day of Khaybar, tomorrow I will certainly give the flag to a man who loves Allah and His Messenger, and who is loved by Allah and His Messenger, agreed upon. Reported by Al-Bukhari, as hadith number 3701, and by Muslim. And then the Shaykh said, and the Salaf, the predecessors, are agreed upon affirming al-muhabba, love for Allah. He loves and He is loved. He loves and He is loved in both of these. Because as a side point, then as we've heard before, there's some of the people of deviation who deny that, as or either deny it or twist it as an attribute for Allah. And also they say that Allah is not loved by the creation either. They deny both of these. So Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentions both of these are affirmed by in consensus of the Salaf, that Allah loves and He is loved. So therefore it is obligatory to affirm that in reality, without tahrif, without twisting the meaning away, without ta'til, without depriving it of the meaning, and without taqif, with not saying how, and without declaring resemblance with the creation. And it is a true and real love, as befits Allah the Most High. And some of the people who deny the attributes, they explain it to mean giving reward. And the refutation of them is what has preceded. And some people misinterpret it, say Allah's love is mahabba, it just means He's giving reward, which is of course false. And the text continues, وَقَوْلُهُ فِي الْكُفَّارِ غَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And his saying with regard to the unbelievers, غَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Surah Al-Mujadila, the 58th surah, ayah 14. With the explanation, Allah is angry with them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, from, from from the attributes of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Al-Fi'aliyya, those attributes which are actions, is Al-Ghadab, anger. That He, the Perfect, becomes angry with the unbelievers. غير المغضوب عليهم. The seventh ayah from Surah Al-Fatiha, with the explanation. Other than those upon whom is Allah's anger. Shaykh said, so Allah, the Majestic and Most High, becomes angry with the unbelievers. And He becomes angry with some of those who commit the major sins. Because He, the Perfect, is jealous over those things which He has prohibited, if they are violated. وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ. Surah An-Nisa, the 4th Surah, Ayah 93. With the explanation, and whoever deliberately kills a believer, then his due recompense, if Allah were to apply it upon him, is hellfire, remaining therein. And that Allah would be angry with him and curse him. And just with regard to a side point here, with regard to the meaning of this ayah, because this is obviously one of the ayahs which people like the Khawarij and their like misuse this ayah, mis-explain, or misinterpret this ayah, and misuse this ayah to declare people guilty of major sins to us being unbelievers. Then with regard to the meaning of this ayah from Surah An-Nisa, the 4th Surah, Ayah 93, then the great Mufassir, Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari, he said, he mentioned a number of sayings in this regard, what is meant by this ayah, and he said, and the saying, from these sayings which is closest to what is correct, is the saying of those who say it means, whoever kills a believer deliberately, then his due recompense, if he gives it to him, if he were to give it to him, would be the hellfire remaining in it forever. However, he pardons and bestows favor upon the people of Iman, those who truly believe in him and in his messenger. So he does not give them the punishment of remaining forever in it. Rather, he, the Most High in renown, either he pardons them through his favor and does not enter that person into the fire, or otherwise he enters him into it and then takes him out of it, later on takes him out of it, through the favor of his mercy. And with regard to this ayah, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, we got the explanation here, Allah becomes angry with him on account of his crime of murdering a believer deliberately and in transgression against him. So Al-Ghadab, anger, is from the attributes of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. So Allah becomes angry, and the created being becomes angry. However, the anger of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, is not like the anger of the created being, because of the tremendous difference between the Creator and the created being. So there is no resemblance between the anger of Allah and the anger of the created being, even though they share in this attribute with regard to the wording and the meaning. However, they do not share in how it is, in the kayfiyyah, and in the full reality, the haqiqah. Just the same as the rest of the attributes. And then we'll finish this section. I'll stop the explanation here, which is becoming prolonged now. We'll finish with a quote from Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. He said, with regard to this attribute, al-ghadab, anger. Anger is from the attributes of Allah which are confirmed for him by the book and the sunnah and the ijma' consensus of the salaf. Allah the Most High said, with regard to those who kill a believer deliberately, وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَا, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 92, and Allah becomes angry with him and curses him. And likewise the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ كِتَابًا عِنْدَهُ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي تَغْلِبُ غَضَبِي. That Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has written a writing with him above the throne that my mercy overcomes my anger. Agreed upon. Reported by Al-Bukhari, that's hadith number 3194, and by Muslim. Then the Shaykh said, and the Salaf were agreed in consensus upon affirming al-ghadab, anger for Allah. So it is obligatory to affirm it without tahreef, without distorting the meaning, and without ta'til, without depriving it, taking the meaning away, without negating the meaning, and without takif, without saying how, and without tamthil, without declaring resemblance with the creation. And it is anger which is true and real as befits Allah. And some of the people who deny the attributes explain it to mean vengeance, al-intiqam. And we respond to them with what preceded in the fourth principle, in the same answer that came before. And with a fourth response as well, which is that Allah the Most High made a difference between al-ghadab, anger, and al-intiqam, vengeance, or punishing. So He the Most High said, and the Shaykh quotes as a proof here, Surah Az-Zukhruf, the 43rd Surah, Ayah 55. And this is an ayah which came in Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah as well. فَلَمَّا آسَفُونَا So when, with the meaning, so when they angered us, انْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ Then we punished them, or we took revenge upon them. So this ayah mentions, so, فَلَمَّا آسَفُونَا انْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ So when they angered us, those wrongdoing unbelievers angered us, then we took vengeance upon them, we punished them. The Shaykh said, so he made punishment, taking vengeance, a result of the anger. So this shows that it is something else. In other words, this ayah shows that Allah becomes angry with certain people and then punishes them, takes vengeance upon them. So it shows that the two, one is a result of the other, but it's not the same thing. Contrary to what these people say, these denies the attributes to say Allah's ghadab, His anger, it just means His vengeance. They don't affirm a true and real anger for Allah. Then we'll leave what follows till next time, inshaAllah. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any points of clarification?
I'm just going back to the point that we took last week, with regards to Ahl al-Dhalal, you know, saying about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wajh.
Yeah.
That means self, yeah? That.
No.
Hey, Sam. And they say that, you know, the wajh means zat, yeah?
Yeah.
At the same time, with the self, and going back to the, the nafs, yeah?
Yeah.
That which means self. Yeah. So once they're saying self, then they deny it, yeah? So they affirm and deny at the same time.
Yeah, no doubt.
Amongst the other contradictions.
Yeah. As Abu pointed out, that the people who deny Allah, the people who come to Allah's attributes, and they open up the door of saying, this attribute, what's apparent from a text may be such and such, but we don't take that to be the meaning. We say it means something different, and then they struggle and try and find something else that they feel that in their minds is not a problem in their minds. And so they say, we'll affirm that for Allah instead. As they say, the same as they say, they have a problem in their minds, and the problem only exists, as came as well from the explanation, the problem only exists in their minds. The problem does not exist in the texts. The problem did not exist with the Prophet ﷺ, didn't exist with the companions, didn't exist with the tabi'een, didn't exist with those who followed them and the imams. They didn't have any problem with these texts, understanding these texts and accepting and affirming these texts. When they heard that Allah has a face, they affirmed a face. And they didn't think, it never crossed their minds, that the face of Allah resembles the face of His creation. It was only later on, in later times, that these people came, as the Shaykh said, people from non-Arabs and their like, affected by beliefs from outside Islam, they came infected with these beliefs. And when they heard that Allah has a face, they start thinking these thoughts. Allah has a face, but the creation of a face, so that will mean resemblance. So therefore we'll either deny, so we'll actually deny, or others say, we have to explain it away to mean something different. And they have to struggle to find another attribute they can affirm. And then of course they fall into self-contradiction. Amongst themselves, some say it means this and some say it means no. We have to explain it to mean that, and they contradict. And as Ibn Qayyim, Shaykh Hassan ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim mentions, and as soon as they open that door and they open themselves to misguidance and they have no text to prove this or that, so they fall into confusion and self-contradiction.
Many Quranic translations in English, almost whatever we listen and study, everything is done in English, as the same thing was printed in English translation.
Yeah,
the CDs and all this, and the Quran is and all this. I read many chapters.
Yeah.
They got everything there, this translator. And they, everything, whatever we find, it's changed.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
And then I say, why are you selling these CDs and it's got different... alteration of everything. Everything, whatever we say, everything is there. Yeah. And the translation. It's a layer of...
Yeah.
Shops are there. What was shops? No selling these.
No doubt it's something extremely ta'wil of Allah's attributes is something extremely widespread. And that being the underlying principle, or their principle, their false principle, that they come to attribute, they open this door, they say that if we affirm this attribute, whatever it is, whether it's Allah's hand or his face or his coming or his anger or the like, they say this attribute is found in the creation. So if we affirm it for Allah, then we'll be making Allah like the creation. So we have to explain Allah's attribute to mean something different. And some of the people of knowledge of the past, they refuted them. And they said, for example, what about the existence of Allah? Do you affirm the existence of Allah? So then these people, of course, they have to affirm the existence. If they say we don't affirm the existence of Allah, they've left Islam clearly and openly. So they say, yeah, we affirm the existence of Allah. So then the response to this comes is, do you affirm the existence of the creation? So they say, yes, of course we affirm the existence of the creation. So they say, do you not say, is the existence of the creation, does that resemble the existence of the Creator then? So they said, no. We say the existence of the Creator is an existence as befits Him. The existence of the creation is an existence befitting them. So the people of knowledge say, so why don't you say that with the rest of the attributes? Why don't you say that with the rest of the attributes then? Why don't you say the same thing with regard to Allah's hand, the same to Allah's face, the same with regard to Allah's hand, with regard to Allah's anger, with regard to Allah's loving and the like? And of course they have no answer for that. How can you pick and choose which attributes you want to affirm and which ones you want to do? You have to explain away. Allah must start. Sahih al-Bukhari, hadith number 3194, Sahih Muslim as well. SubhanAllah.
Yeah.
As-Sam'ani. Abu Mudhaffar As-Sam'ani. Qasir ibn Salam. The same means screened and shaded by clouds. SubhanAllah, wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.
stuff. I'm supposed to go to Mumbai.
How do you say that?